It's Wednesday, August 10th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Donald Gray Barnhouse is an old Presbyterian pastor from Philadelphia, and he was asked the question, what if Satan took over a city? And so he speculated that if Satan took over Philadelphia, all the bars would be closed, all pornography banished. There would be pristine streets filled with people who smiled at each other. There'd be no swearing, and children would say yes, sir, and no, ma'am. And the churches would be full every Sunday where Christ is not preached. See, one of Satan's chief schemes is to get you to pursue and achieve what I like to call Christless morality. And that is feats of morality that are done for the purpose of declaring yourself worthy of love, affection, or blessing from God. In the end, Christless morality dishonors God, it distorts grace, and it makes a mockery of the cross. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, or good works, then Christ died for no purpose. We're talking about grace today. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, Paul blasts any teaching that regards good works as a requirement to salvation. Let's look at it together. Starting at verse 8, the Word of God says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. That is a good passage there. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We've got to get this. We must get this, because if we don't, it can be deadly. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, that if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. See, the truth is, every false gospel out there tries to add some kind of works to grace. Mormons, for example, while they're nice people, they believe a false gospel and they teach a false gospel. In the second book of Nephi, chapter 25, verse 23 says, for we know that it is by grace that we have been saved after all we do. See, that comes from the Book of Mormon, and that's saying that you must do something in order to receive grace. See, grace by definition is something that is not earned nor deserved. We do not do a bunch of spiritual exercises and acts of obedience in order to trigger God's grace. It would cease to be grace. We are sinners saved by grace alone. But then the verse says that we are saved by grace through faith. Now, faith is the human response by which we embrace God's free offer of salvation in Christ Jesus. And faith itself is not a work that earns salvation. It is simply a response where we receive what has already been done for us in Christ. Paul is determined to get this point across, that salvation is by God's grace alone through faith. So he says two more things. First, he says, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And secondly, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I mean, it's like Paul is shaking the reader here, saying, if you think you've earned your salvation, you're wrong. You haven't, and you can't. It is a gift. Here's the big question for all of us. When was the last time you marveled at the grace of God? When was the last time that you drank deeply from this bottomless well and immersed yourself in the grace of God? All right, merging some of my thoughts with Charles Spurgeon and an old Puritan prayer, I say the following. You sinner, you are leprous, filthy, naked, neither fit to live nor fit to die. You who are the very sweepings of creation, you who hardly dare to hope for anything but death, You who are experiencing despair brooding over you, pressing on your heart like a terrible nightmare. You the ungodly, you the blasphemer, you the enemy of God, you the Christless moralist, you the sinner. The Bible takes direct aim at you, putting you in the crosshairs, and says this: while you were still all those things, Christ died for the ungodly. Just take a moment to adore this truth. Observe with a throbbing heart the fountainhead of our salvation, the grace of God. God is gracious. Therefore, sinful men are forgiven, converted, purified, and saved. Where sin increased, grace abounded. We are not under law, but under grace. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. It is amazing love that thou hast sent thy Son to suffer in my stead, that thou hast added the Spirit to teach, comfort, and guide, that thou hast allowed the ministry of angels to wall around me. All heaven subserves the welfare of a poor worm. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let us rejoice in the God of grace. Let us embrace the grace of God. Let us rejoice in this matchless grace continually, and thereby magnify Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily.